T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, it is good evening to you and AB at 8:06 and 25 seconds to go right along with it on a very busy Thursday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here and you there. Peter Hoffman, Robbie Rosenhaus. There on the other side of the glass, 1-877-337-6666. That'd be the number for another two-hour Thursday schmooze right up until JJ After Dark. John Jastrzemski at 10 on your fan New York City. But you don't have to wait until 10 to hear from Tim Bontemps. And he is your national NBA writer for the Washington Post. Tim, I hope I got not only your first name right, but your last name as well.
Perfect, Steve. First, last, and title, all good.
Very good, Tim. And let's start right away with what's happening with in Washington, where you are, in their series that the Wizards are having with the Hawks. What is this MMA going on? What is this war of words going on between Morris and Millsap?
Well, I mean, I think it's just a much ado about nothing, honestly. I mean, you know, the NBA clearly was worried about something. They called about 7 trillion fouls in game two yesterday. But, you know, it really was nothing more than just a typical physical basketball game in the playoffs in game one. And, you know, game two, like I said, they really tried to make sure nothing happened in it. But bottom line is that the Wizards have, I think, significantly more talent than the Hawks. And you know, you saw that, you know, the first game when the Wizards starters were in, they dominated the game. And even in game two, when they had a ton of foul trouble for both Marquise Morris and Otto Porter, you know, whenever the Wizards starters were in the game, specifically when John Wall and Bradley Beal were in the game, you know, they really dominated things. And for me, you know, unless something pretty drastic changes for Atlanta, it's hard to see how they're going to be able to come back in this series against a team that that just got a lot more talent, I think, than they do.
Yes, and I think most NBA fans would agree with you. Obviously, with the Chicago Bulls up 2-0 on Boston, that is certainly, it's a surprise to a lot of NBA fans, no question about it, because you're talking about a number one seed, a number eight seed. But certainly the matchups, this was maybe not the kind of team that Boston wanted to take on in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, Boston's definitely a weak number one seed historically. I mean, their point differential is pretty low, and they definitely don't have the talent level you would think of a typical number one seed. But, you know, this Chicago team has been a disaster most of the season. They've been, you know, had, you know, a bunch of infighting within their players. Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler were kind of going back and forth and social media and through the media earlier in the year. But, you know, you look at this Boston team, they've struggled with two things all year: secondary scoring outside of Isaiah Thomas and rebounding in general. Right. And through these first couple games, the Bulls have really dominated the boards, and they've kind of forced the Celtics to have somebody else step up and score besides Isaiah Thomas. Right. And as you've seen so far, Boston hasn't been able to compete, really find a way to combat either of those things, and that's why they're down 2-0 in the series.
Yeah, and of course, I don't think anyone was that surprised, Tim, that Isaiah Thomas was to play so soon after the loss of his sister. However, the rest of the team doesn't, and obviously the matchups are not favoring with Boston so far after two games, that's for sure. But it doesn't seem like the team is right. I mean, they've committed a lot of turnovers. They haven't gotten a single offensive board, it seems like. It just seems like the karma, the tragedy that befell Isaiah Thomas and his family. The bottom line is it just doesn't seem right for the Celtics here.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, maybe they can still find a way to salvage things, but, you know, down 2-0, going back to Chicago without really an obvious fix to the problems they have, I think it's going to be very tough for them to come back and win this series. And, you know, you look at a team that had been talked about as a big free agent destination this summer, a team that had a lot of designs of doing a lot of big things. And I think you have to look at them going forward and kind of think that a lot of that momentum they've had over the last year or so is going to be stunted by the fact that they look like they're on the way to a pretty embarrassing first-round exit here.
Yeah, and of course, as you allude to, Game 3 is Friday in Chicago. The Indiana Pacers had their chance in Game number 1. Miles had that shot. Paul George wasn't happy, but here comes LeBron James for the double team. So it was Miles who had a fairly decent, good look for a chance to win and maybe make a series for Indiana. But now down 2-0, it looks as though that the Cavaliers are going to be advancing.
Well, I mean, you say that, but right now it's the halftime of this game in Indiana, and the Pacers are up, I think, about to be 26 points. So,
is that right? No, I wasn't aware of that because I'm watching.
It's currently 72-46 with a minute to go in the second quarter.
And wow.
I think this game is really summing up the thing I've been concerned about with Cleveland. You mentioned, Steve, how game one went and how the Cavs very nearly lost. Game two also was close.
Sure.
And, you know, the bottom line is Cleveland for the last 2 months of the year hasn't been able to stop anybody. I mean, since the All-Star break, Cleveland was the second worst defensive team in the league. The only team that was worse was the Lakers. So they even were better defensively than the Knicks, who were not trying to win.
Right.
And they were only a tenth of a point better than the Lakers, who were intentionally trying to lose at the end of the season. So, I mean, they haven't been able to stop anybody. And, you know, that hasn't changed through these first 3 games of the playoffs. So, you know, from my standpoint, yes, they have LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. But if they want to win another championship this year or even get back to the finals again, they have to find a way to start stopping people. And so far in these playoffs, they haven't even come close to doing that.
And I wasn't aware. I'm glad to hear this. I would love to see Indiana win this one, but that's just me, Tim. But I'm watching the New York Rangers. I'm watching the New York Metropolitans. That's the focus here. But, of course, no, this is good news to hear this with what is going on with Indiana and Cleveland. If the Cavaliers are to get by the Pacers, who might beat Cleveland and get to the finals?
Well, I mean, look, I still think Toronto, who just started their game against the Bucks, and former Nets coach Jason Kidd, I still think Toronto's going to win that series. And I think Toronto's a team that's really well built, to beat Cleveland. They went and got Serge Ibaka and P.J. Tucker at the trade deadline, gives them a lot more defensive versatility and three-point shooting. They can have 5 3-point shooters on the court now at any time late in games, so they can still be versatile defensively. So I think they're going to be a tough challenge for Cleveland, assuming they get by Milwaukee, which is going to be easy. And, look, I mean, I've liked the Washington Wizards all season long. The John Wall and Bradley Beal are arguably, you know, outside of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, the best backcourt in the NBA. And you saw in the earlier games this year they played against Cleveland when they needed a crazy LeBron James turnaround follow-away three-pointer to tie a game and send it to overtime in Washington. And then they destroyed the Cavs last month in Cleveland late March. They're not going to be afraid of Cleveland at all. And so I still would say the Cavs are favored to get to the finals, but I don't think they have any chance to beat the Warriors right now if they get there. And getting there and getting past, say, Toronto and Washington in the conference semis and the conference finals is going to be really tough.
And you mentioned the Warriors. I do want to ask you about the Knickerbockers, where they might go in the draft, and, of course, picking number 7. They couldn't even win with the lottery tiebreaker with Minnesota. But we'll
when it rains, it pours, right?
That's exactly right. We'll talk about the Knicks in a second. But even as you just touched on, I mean, everyone expects Golden State. They didn't have Durant in Game 1. I thought McGee coming off the bench, and certainly Draymond Green, with all of his defense and energy and always looking for a groin to go about grabbing, obviously without Durant. And how about where Portland, in that first game with their backcourt, Lillard and McCollum, 75 points. I don't think anybody else from Portland scored, but that was maybe the one game that the Trailblazers might have beaten the Warriors, and I don't think anybody expects the Warriors not to get to the finals.
No, I mean, look, Steve, if they're healthy, you know, Kevin Durant's out with a calf injury right now, but if they're healthy, they're going to win the championship. I mean, it's really not – it shouldn't really be up for debate. I mean, they're just that much better than all these teams have to play. And like I was saying before, I mean, let's say – I mean, they should get to the finals, and people think that Cleveland has a chance to beat them. I'm sorry. Cleveland right now can't guard anybody. How are they going to possibly stop – this Warriors team with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, I just don't see how they can do it. So, I mean, look, they could have injuries. You saw last year what happened. You know, Steph Curry got hurt, Draymond Green got suspended, Andrew Bogut got hurt, Harrison Barnes couldn't hit a shot. I mean, a lot of things came together and allowed Cleveland to make that tremendous comeback and win the finals. But I just can't see that scenario repeating itself this year with this Warriors team. I think they've just got too much firepower, and if they stay healthy, they're going to win the championship, I think, without much trouble.
All right. Let me, with a minute or two that we have, Tim,
sure.
And we're talking with Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post. He covers the NBA, all of it, for the Washington Post. He's the national writer, and we're lucky to have him for a couple of minutes. Is Carmelo Anthony going to be on the Knickerbockers next season, Tim?
It's a great question. It's really up to Carmelo because of his no trade clause. If I had to guess, I would say he will still be on the Knicks because I think it's going to be hard to trade him. And I don't really see him giving Phil Jackson the satisfaction of moving him on after all the stuff Phil has said about him.
And where do you think if they pick number 7, I mean, a lot of things can happen, but, let's say they do go number 7. Where are they going to go? Are they going to get themselves a decent point guard going number 7 if that's where they are?
You would think so. I mean, obviously the hope is to jump up and get Alonzo Ball or Markel Fultz, right? But if they do stay with the 7th pick, I mean, they should get their pick of that next group of point guards, whether it's De'Aaron Fox from Kentucky, mm-hmm. or Dennis Smith from North Carolina State, mm-hmm. or Frank Ntilikina, who is a French point guard who's pretty highly regarded. So, I mean, look, Derrick Rose, you obviously would think the Knicks should move on from, whether they will or not, with Phil Jackson charge is another thing, but they should get a chance to get a point guard that potentially could be their guy for the future with Kristaps Porzingis.
Tim, what is the NBA going to do, if they're able to do anything, about players resting? Because you know as well as I that a player may want to rest if it's a LeBron James who's been in a million postseason games over the course of his career. You know, he's not getting any younger. He may want to take a game or two off, whether it's on national TV or not. He could
right.
always say, I'm hurting. I've got some kind of an injury. My back is hurting. My
right.
knee is hurting. I mean, what is the NBA going to do, if anything, about this?
I mean, they're not really going to do anything. I mean, look. The two games that became a big deal about this earlier in the year were national TV Saturday night games when the NBA had the Warriors on a crazy schedule where they had a back-to-back in Minneapolis and then San Antonio at the end of an 8-game, 8-city trip. And so the Warriors sat their guys. And then Cleveland had a bunch of guys who were hurt and tired, so they sat them the next week. But next year, the NBA is going to add an extra week to the schedule. They're going to have more off days. I think you're going to see all those ABC Saturday night games not have a game on either side of them, so guys won't sit. And, you know, the bottom line is these guys want to play. So as long as they're not on back-to-backs, you're pretty much going to see these guys play every game. And,
yeah.
and I think as long as the NBA does that, they don't care if guys – I mean, to be honest, the NBA doesn't care if guys are sitting on a Wednesday night in Milwaukee or Memphis. I mean, mm-hmm. they just don't – they want to make sure their guys are healthy for the games that matter in the playoffs. So I think all they're going to do is try to build some more rest in the schedule, and that'll take care of a lot of these problems on it by itself.
I was being very sarcastic a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about maybe the Cleveland Cavaliers, Tim, might be resting during the first round of the playoffs so they could be fresh and ready to go in the second round.
Well, they look like they rested in the first half, so we'll see what the second half looks like.
Right. All right, Tim, a million thanks. Enjoy the rest of the postseason, and thanks very much for a couple minutes.
Anytime, Steve. Always happy to come on.
Okay. Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post, a little bit with the NBA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.